Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Good morning. You may be seated. First case on our calendar is 06-1242, 06-1243. Gordon Proctor, Director, out of Department of Transportation versus Kathy Cardassolaris. Mr. Boater.
Chief Justice Moyer, Honorable Justices of the Ohio Supreme Court, Learned Counsel. This case arises out of an appropriation case filed in Trumbull County by the Director of Highways, in which, during the progress of the case, the property owner contends that the state went outside of the right-of-way, did considerable damage that was not part of the appropriation case. Consequently, the property owner got leave of court to file a counterclaim against the state of Ohio in that case. And it subsequently, a motion to dismiss was made by the state of Ohio, and the case was dismissed on the basis that under 5501.22, that there was not subject jurisdiction, that the Director of Highways could not be suable in any court outside of Franklin County. It is the contention of the property owner that the court did have jurisdiction, depending on how you interpret 5501.02 and whether or not subject matter jurisdiction is derived from the Constitution directly and under Chapter 5519 and Chapters 163 of the Ohio Revised Code. The problem is, if we adopt the state's version that you cannot file a counterclaim in an appropriation case such as this, it means that now we're faced with a jury trial in a court in the appropriation case, having to come to Franklin County to another court for a writ of mandamus, and then the director having, if it's allowed, the director having to go back to Trumbull County and file another appropriation case with the court and another jury trial. Whereas if the appellant's contention is correct, it would mean that there would be one trial before the court. And it seems logical because basically you have the same parties, the same property, and you're dealing with the same subject matter. Now, we maintain that the court could interpret that statute to mean that it says that the Director of Transportation shall not be suable. It does not say that he cannot be countersuable in that type of a case. Basically, if we adopt the reasoning that the two Franklin County courts have adopted in my reply brief, the Kermit's case and also the J.P. Sand and Gravel case, they maintain that sovereign immunity has been waived by the state of Ohio by virtue of Article 1, Section 19, and also by Section 163 and 5519, in which the state has adopted the procedure by which property is to be appropriated, and that would give them subject matter jurisdiction. Now, the problem is well noted in the case of the Gagelin case, which is cited in my brief, in which it went up to the Court of Appeals, but it did not come up to this any further, up to this high court, in which in the Gagelin case, the trial judge case says, this will result, and there was a counterclaim involved in that case, this will result in cases being tried over and over and over again. And he said, I don't like it, I don't like the interpretation. But there was not injected into the case at that time the modern courts amendment, which the Ohio Rules of Civil Procedure, Section 13, indicates a mandatory claim to file in a case. And at least there is the permissive version that allows a person to file that. By the way, I would like to reserve 5 minutes, if I may.
Watch your time there on the clock.
Yes, sir. I will, sir. Therefore, I would say to this court that this is a matter of great importance from the standpoint that if we adopt the appellee's position, it will eventually come into a multiplicity of suits, which it has already, or we can adopt the appellant's version in the interpretation of 5501 using the theory of expressio unius, that the legislature only indicated suable, not countersuable, and therefore it would come under the jurisdiction of the Constitution and 5519 and 163, which, if you follow the reasoning of the Franklin County courts, they've indicated sovereign immunity was waived by virtue of the adoption of those statutes to give the property owner a remedy. The multiplicity of suits in this case, I think, is even in the Ohio Rules of Civil Procedure. It encourages judicial expediency. It discourages judicial waste. And we maintain that if this is interpreted in this way, many property owners will benefit, and also the state will benefit, because it doesn't make sense for the director to file a lawsuit. Then the property owner comes, and if he gets a writ of mandamus, the director has to go back to Trumbull County anyway to file another appropriation case in that instance. And it's really expensive for both parties, the state, the property owner, and the courts.
Because Council, the land that's at issue here that subsequently would be subject to the appropriation or the taking by the state is a different parcel or piece of land than the original action was concerned with. Is that correct?
You are correct as far as the amount appropriated by the state, but it still does involve the same property out of which the appropriation case was derived. In other words, the state took a piece across the front for the widening of the highway. They went outside, in many cases, tore up parking lots, sewage backed up into the supermarket of the property owner, water mains were broken.
Is this an ongoing condition that would require the state taking the entire?
No, I don't think so. I think in many cases it's temporary. Primarily, for instance, if the electric was cut off to a sign for 6 months, if water backed up onto the lot and then it was ultimately corrected, but it would be that temporary period of time.
So this is a temporary taking for damages that you're asking, not an
appropriation? Well, in some cases it would be permanent, ma'am.
We're talking about in the case before us.
Yes. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
Well, what is it that ultimately your client would be benefiting, or if it would prevail, what would be the ultimate outcome for your client?
The ultimate outcome for my client would be that the additional damages that were incurred outside of the right-of-way by virtue of their intruding upon the real estate would be heard by the same jury that decides the damage issue with regards to the appropriation case under proper instructions.
So the initial case is merely to determine the appropriate dollar amount to attach to the property that was taken by the state.
Taking, yes, ma'am.
The counter claim that the your client would be filing would be for additional damages.
Yes, ma'am.
But not a permanent taking of land or property, just damages that resulted in this activity that was attendant to the construction of the road.
There may be some permanent damages in the sense that, for instance, we had one case here where a pillar was hit and was damaged on the property. I suppose that would be construed as a permanent damage. However, water backing up on the property for a temporary period of time might be construed as a temporary damages if it was alleviated by the state. So in answer to your question, there may be some permanent damage, some temporary damage.
Mr. Boder, the questions regarding the nature of the counterclaim, does it make any difference that it's styled in the nature of the mandamus?
Yes, I think it does, because in some cases that there's four cases in which the courts, these were all cases where there were not counterclaims filed. They were the original actions. And we maintain that perhaps we do have to come to Franklin County in an original action and file it here in Trumbull County, because they're still, at the statute says, suable. However, I would say that, you know, basically, Justice Leisinger, that I think that, you know, the answer, I think I've answered that question for you, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boder. Mr. Stokes.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court. The precise issue that the appeals court ruled on below is whether Civil Rule 13A required the Blanks and Cardassolarises to file their counterclaims in the pending appropriation suit. 550122 says that the Director of Transportation shall not be suable in any court outside Franklin County. And because of that statute, the trial court dismissed the counterclaims. On appeal, the Blanks and Cardassolarises argued that the Modern Courts Amendment and the civil rules trump 550122. That was the single assignment of error below. The appeals court ruled that the civil rules in 13A did not apply because 550122 regulates subject matter jurisdiction, and therefore it is a substantive statute, a matter of substantive law that isn't affected by the Modern Courts Amendment.
Mr. Stokes, doesn't it depend on how we interpret the word suable in the statute? I mean, could it not reasonably mean that that means an individual may not bring an original action unless it's within Franklin County?
Well, the word suable has been used in a number of different contexts to encompass both original actions and counterclaims. I'd point out, for example, this court, in a number of its decisions, has interpreted the word suable in this very statute to mean all actions against the Director of Transportation.
Are any of those cases also appropriations cases?
Yes, they were. Sarkis versus State, for example, in fact, I think many of them, and they're cited in our brief, were similar situations in that there was an argument that the state needed to appropriate some property, but they weren't filed as counterclaims in pending appropriation cases. They were filed as original actions in some court elsewhere.
That's the very distinction we're looking at here, whether we're talking about bringing an original action, which I think the statute clearly applies,
right,
or responding with a counterclaim in an action that has already been filed.
Well, I would point out first with the court's ordinary way of analyzing a statute to see whether it's ambiguous or not. I mean, does the statute by itself have a clear and definite meaning? Does the word suable, in ordinary use, have a clear and definite meaning that would encompass not only original actions but also counterclaims? In addition to these other cases, we provided a dictionary definition in our brief showing what the ordinary use of the term would be. Civil Rule 8A, when it's talking about pleadings, talks about claims and pulls all claims in together. Let's see if I can find the exact term here. Civil Rule 8A talks about a claim for relief. And that applies to all claims, original actions, counterclaims, cross-claims, third-party claims. They're all under the rubric of claim for relief.
Counsel, I'm wondering, is there a factual dispute about the parking of equipment doing these things?
I think there's factual disputes about some elements of the case. I mean, issues of causation, proximate causation, and so forth. I think there's a variety of different facts in which some of them it's much clearer than others that ODOT's contractor caused some damage, trespassed and caused some damage.
Okay. For those, such as the intrusions on the parking lot outside the temporary taking, Why didn't ODOT just amend the complaint and be done with it? I mean, that's typically what's done when it turns out you need more area Here it sounds like you didn't need more right. area, but the contractor took liberties that the contractor wasn't entitled to take.
Well, no, Your Honor, I did not handle this case below, but I can tell you from personal experience in other cases that the normal mechanism when one of ODOT's contractors trespasses and causes damages is that the property owner comes to ODOT and says, listen, because of the work you were doing out here, you know, a tile broke inside my property. You need to fix it. And ODOT has essentially people that are like internal claims adjusters that'll go out, look at it, and say, yep, you're right. We'll fix it or we'll pay you to fix it. They agree on something, and it's very expedited. So that's the way it would normally be handled rather than creating a separate suit or a counterclaim of something of that nature.
But apparently it hadn't been, that hasn't happened.
Apparently that procedure was not followed here, and I can't explain why. Perhaps the owners didn't request it, I don't know. But getting back to
Wait a minute, didn't request it, they sued you. That's about as formal a request as you
right.
can get.
Well, there have been settlement negotiations. Now, obviously we can't talk about right. those, but we did attempt to settle this matter and we're not successful, and so we're here today.
Do you view this case as an actual counterclaim for a taking, or is it just really a counterclaim for just damages cost?
Well, interestingly, the appeals court did not reach that issue. Because they were able to dispose of the issue on 5501.22 grounds, they did not have to look at the facts to see whether the actions here arise to the level of a taking or whether they should properly be considered something less than that, just a trespass claim causing damages. So that issue's never been decided in this
Does
case.
That make a difference? Because if it is, in fact, in a taking, that's an appropriation properly in a local county. If it's in the category of damages, then your argument probably is stronger that it needs to go to the Court of Claims.
But even if you're, the question, I guess, is not whether it is an appropriation, but who should decide whether it should be an appropriation. And 5501.22 says that that decision needs to be made by a court in Franklin County. And this makes a lot of sense. I'll give you an example that, again, fairly frequently arises when the Department of Transportation is doing something in its existing right-of-way. It's not appropriating any more property from any property owners, but it's doing something in the existing right-of-way. And an owner of adjoining property is affected by that somehow and says, listen, you have taken a property right from me. And the department says, no, we don't think we have, because this is all work that we've done on our property. A frequent avenue that property owners will employ then is to sue in mandamus. Inverse condemnation case, essentially, ODOT, you need to appropriate this right from me. If the reading of the statute that the Blanks and Cardassolaris advanced were adopted, you would have 88 different common pleas courts deciding, does this conduct rise to the level of a taking requiring mandamus? You would have 12 different appeals courts sitting in review on that, so you'd have one department that acts
statewide. Well, how does that differ from any car wreck or anything else? We've got 88 counties and all these courts of appeals, and they decide all these other matters. Is it such a specialty that it's only competently decided here in Franklin County?
Well, I think the legislature could legitimately choose to centralize it for a number of reasons, and one of which is that then you have one court, the District Court of Appeals that's sitting here, that would be making the appellate decisions that would govern the director's conduct in the entire state. Otherwise, you could have the same set of facts arising in the 4th District, and the court says, no mandamus, this isn't
the taking.
Well,
counsel, that's one thought. I happen to know some of the history of how some of this got there, and it was less noble than that. But at any rate, let me ask you this. Has the underlying appropriation taken place?
Has the property?
I mean, the trial.
No, the trial has not taken place.
Isn't much of this a matter of damages for the taking? In other words, there is a dispute about how much the temporary take involved in terms of the intrusion on the parking lot and all of that. But the sewers and the other things, that's a part of the taking that was contemplated, and it's, wouldn't that be an issue of damages in the appropriation case,
Your Honor,
irrespective?
I believe that's incorrect. I believe that the damages to things that, the damages to the Blank and Cardassolaris buildings and so forth, the damages that have been alleged with regard to parking lots, all resulted from activities allegedly taken outside of the area that was defined
right.
in the
but
appropriation
with respect
petition.
To the, all right, with respect to those, but with respect to the sewer backups and those kinds of things, those are always disputes in the taking. The farmer's saying, well, you've messed up all my field tile, those kinds of things. That's in the underlying case anyway.
The concept of damages is really, as used in appropriation cases in Chapter 163, is sometimes referred to as severance damages. So it relates to the damages to the underlying,
I tried those cases. Property. I understand the value before, the value after, and those kind of things. But at least part of what the property owner is complaining of here would be resolved by the trial. Is this action holding up the trial? Is that?
Yes. Yeah, I think the underlying trial was stayed until this issue could be resolved. Now, had things operated according to statute, the trial would have actually taken place long before these counterclaims even arose, long before the facts, the events giving rise to them even arose. But another point about damages is that in the appropriation case that's being tried, I mean, this is a special statutory proceeding under Chapter 163. There are areas of land that are being appropriated that are defined by the appropriation petition, by the Director of Transportation's resolution and finding that's incorporated into the petition and becomes part of the case. And then there's some other requirements of things that 163.04 and 05 say have to be in an appropriation petition. So that's the subject of the case. And then you have an answer which is essentially intended just to put the issue of valuation before the jury. This court has described it that way, I believe, in the Akron versus Gay decision. But in any event, so the subject of the case is defined by the underlying appropriation petition. This court decided that, discussed that somewhat in Mashiter versus Blaisdell from the early 1970s.
Let's assume you win here today. Then what happens?
Well, then what happens is the property owners would have, I believe, two potential remedies according to the 10th District decisions that they cite in their reply briefs. And one would be to come to a court in Franklin County that can hear mandamus cases and file for writ of mandamus and allege that these actions amount to a taking and so, Director, you need to appropriate my property. Another option would be to seek money damages in the Court of Claims and go there.
A third option would be for your client to sit down and close the deal.
Well, as I told you, Your Honor, we did attempt to close the deal. This matter was referred to mediation, but it was unsuccessful.
Mr. Stokes, you mentioned that Chapter 163 were a special proceeding.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it your contention that the civil rules do not apply and that, for example, Rule 13A regarding compulsory counterclaims would not be applicable here?
Well, this factually is not a compulsory counterclaim. Factually, this is an after-acquired counterclaim that would come under, I believe it's Civil Rule 13E.
So you're saying it's not arising out of the transaction or occurrence that was the subject matter of the original complaint?
That's correct. And in fact, Mr. Bodor suggested as much in his opening part of his argument that there was an appropriation petition, there was an answer filed. Sometime afterwards, things occurred that made them think they had a counterclaim. They asked leave of court to file it and got leave of court.
But correct me if I'm wrong, I thought we were talking about your client exceeding the scope of the appropriation. What we're talking about?
ODOT's contractor trespassing on private property that was not something that was appropriated either permanently or temporarily by the state.
And you're saying that doesn't arise out of the complaint here?
No, because what was defined in the complaint is the property that the department was seeking to appropriate. There was permanent appropriation. I'm assuming that there were probably some temporary construction easements involved as well. And had the contractor stayed within the confines of what was meant to be appropriated, these issues wouldn't arise.
So any time that there's an appropriation proceeding and it goes wrong, at least as far as the property owner is concerned, you're suggesting that the property owner has to file a separate lawsuit in Franklin County, either in mandamus or a court of claims action, again, here in Franklin County?
Well, they would also have, as I mentioned, Your Honor, the possibility of just coming to the department in the first place and getting, you know, the departmental, I'm not sure the exact title, but somebody who functions like a claims adjuster to come out, and perhaps they can agree and settle the thing in very short order. But if that doesn't happen, then the remedy would have to be here in Franklin County, either in seeking mandamus or in the court of claims.
Again, going back to that original question I had, does 163 specifically exempt those proceedings from the civil rules?
Well, actually, Civil Rule 1 says that that appropriation proceedings are special statutory proceedings, so if a civil rule is clearly inapplicable to it, then it won't apply. So the rule of decision, I believe, is in Civil Rule 1.
Okay.
There are some other parts in Chapter 163 that reference specific civil rules and perhaps modify them somewhat.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes.
Thank you.
Mr. Boder, you've saved just a little more than 5 minutes of your time.
Thank you.
May I suggest that counsel for the state has inappropriately indicated that Sarkis versus State apparently is one of the cases that back their positions with regards to the fact that we can't file a counterclaim. I want to correct the record there. If we look at Sarkis versus State, we will find that that case was an original action that was filed by the property owner in Trumbull County, and the court said, you've got to go back to Franklin County. And we don't question that because the statute says suable.
Counsel, what about the argument that was proposed by opposing counsel that the policy decision here governing the conduct of ODOT is better suited to be determined by one court for uniformity, given the fact that ODOT functions throughout all 88 counties and I guess a standard manner of operation for ODOT and a manner of resolution to activity such as claimed by your client would be better handled by a central court?
Well, Justice O'Connor, I think Justice Pfeiffer addressed that, and we have the same situation existing in all 88 counties in other similar types of cases. I might mention the fact that
but we have one state agency here with all of the authorities that are vested in ODOT by operation of the administration as well as statutes that govern. And, you know, the distinction here is it's a state agency.
I would like to think that every appellate court is equipped just as well as the Franklin County Court to decide issues.
If that were the case, we wouldn't have conflicts to decide here.
Well, that may be true, but by virtue of the conflict, we then get to the truth of the kernel of the law of what should be applied, and that's why we have this Supreme Court to make those decisions. And it's this conflict that brings into issue and puts it in proper perspective for this court. So basically, the idea that, oh, we'll keep coming to the same court because they know how to take care of this matter better than the other courts, we must weigh that with the multiplicity of suits that it creates.
And is it our decision to weigh that, or is it the legislature's decision to weigh this?
I didn't mean to interrupt. Were you finished? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's the legislature as far as weighing in as to whether they will be suable or non-suable, but I think it's this court's function to interpret the law that the legislature has created. And we maintain that if they meant counter-suable, they should have mentioned that, plus the fact that jurisdiction is derived, if you go by the two Franklin County cases that were decided here that I cited in my reply brief, that original jurisdiction is derived by the local courts because They have jurisdiction, all the common pleas courts have jurisdictions over writs of mandamus. We weren't suing for damages. We were asking, we're merely asking and saying, look, there's been a harm here, force the state to do it. I think that's sort of a no-brainer. I mean, as far as the court, I don't see where that's a complicated issue before the Franklin County courts. It's something that could be decided by the local court.
And maybe in your particular case, it might be a no-brainer, but we're making law here and interpreting the statute and the rule,
yes, ma'am,
and the applicability for the entire state.
Yes, ma'am.
And other situations involving ODOT and
yes,
may not be as clear-cut as you determine your situation to be.
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, I've been only involved in the type of case for 50 years, and basically I don't say that I know all the answers, Judge, but I would have to say that generally speaking, when a contractor goes out of off the right-of-way, these damages are very similar. I mean, you're either disturbing sewers, digging water lines, you're either tearing up a parking lot, they're pretty much the same type of things. When the state, by the way, I would like to address, when the state mentions the fact that, you know, well, we can have our investigation department come out here, this hasn't been done in this case yet, even though we're up here at the Ohio Supreme
Council,
Court.
Counsel, let me ask you
yes, sir,
about the situs of the records and who you deal with and all of that in this kind of case. ODOT is organized by districts, is it not?
So what I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
ODOT is organized by districts, is it not?
And yes, it is.
And the right-of-way engineer and all the people who maintain the records for this project are located where?
The 11th district, I think, is now in Akron. It used to be in Portage County in this case.
So the people that you deal with in terms of the right-of-way engineer who decides what the amount of the take and the location and all of that is located in Akron.
Yes, sir. To my knowledge, they're close to Akron. Yes.
All right.
Mr. Boder, you have not filed a lawsuit for damages for trespass.
No.
You want a mandamus.
That is correct.
To compel ODOT to expand the scope of its appropriation. Am I reading your complaint correctly?
Yes, our request was to ask the court to order the Director of Highways to expand the scope to be commensurate with what he actually did take.
Yes.
So we're saying that, you know, basically, for instance, in one of the cases, one of the restaurants, there was a sewer easement put in about 10 feet from the building, and there was a pounding of shale with a big bucket. And basically, we maintain it put a crack in the restaurant wall.
Is this a continuing, this project is still continuing?
No, the project is over. The project is completed, sir. The highway is already put in.
Well, then, how would a mandamus lie in any event? I mean, should you be successful?
If the mandamus ordered that the counterclaim be, honored and that they appropriate the additional rights, okay, then it would go to a jury to determine, along with the compensation for the permanent and the temporary damages, to also decide these additional damages. In other words, if the, as an example, if the Director of Highways had conceived the fact that it needed additional parking area to park its machinery on,
yes,
then it should have taken a temporary easement, and the property owner would have gotten compensated for that temporary easement.
Yes.
So by requiring the director to do that now, the property owner will be hopefully be compensated for the temporary damages caused by virtue of that temporary taking, because he left it, the parking lot, not in the same condition as it was when they went in.
Thank you.
Mr. Boder, isn't your your strongest practical argument the fact that this is just adding an additional issue for the jury rather than requiring an entirely new separate lawsuit in another county?
That is correct. Okay. That is a very good summation. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Boder.
Honor.
case is submitted, you will be advised of our opinion.